Did you hear about Mike? No, I said. What happened? When I arrived on Western Washington University's campus in 1980, Mike Dittman was perhaps the most dynamic Christian I'd ever met. He was several years older than I was and already a leader in the college ministry I attended. Mike had everything, a charismatic personality, great athletic ability, and a walk of integrity, as well as being a skilled worship leader and a good teacher. He could lead you into the presence of God like few I've ever met. I often sought him out at lunchtime to talk and was later pleased to end up being in the small group he led. Following his time at Western, Mike served as a campus pastor and then enrolled in graduate studies to become a counselor. He worked at a church for a number of years until finally an intervention of sorts took place. Men whom Mike respected and loved confronted him and said, "Mike, you're very competent, very insightful, a dynamic leader, a guy who inspires admiration and respect. But you're also too blunt. You hurt people with your words. You lack compassion and empathy." Mike was devastated, but in a good way. He realized that not one of the positive traits mentioned by these men was a fruit of the Spirit, and he found himself praying, "God, I wish I was a little less dynamic and a little more compassionate." It was just a couple years later that a close friend told me the shocking news. After a morning workout, Mike's body dropped to the locker room floor. A brain hemorrhage almost took his life, but after a furious scare, doctors were able to keep Mike in this world, albeit a very different Mike. His Hollywood handsome appearance was gone. Half of Mike's face now looks fallen, pulled over to one side. He can't sing anymore or play his guitar, so there's no more leading worship. For a while, his speech was slurred, so he couldn't teach. He was humbled in just about every way an ambitious man can be humbled. After months of grueling therapy, Mike moved on. The devastating effect on his body was paralleled by an equally powerful and wonderful change in his spirit. Now, years later, Mike's ministry has never been more productive. He started a phenomenally successful department of counseling at the Philadelphia Biblical University, which has grown from a handful of students to hundreds of participants. People fly into Philadelphia from all over the country to meet with Mike. Pastors who have fallen, marriages that have broken apart, children who are rebelling, Mike's seen it all. Whereas before his focus was on the masses, Mike now specializes in healing hurting hearts, one at a time. "The brain hemorrhage took a lot away from me," Mike told me recently, "but it gave me even more." Mike is now the type of guy whose spirit invites you to quiet your heart, get rid of all pretenses, and revel in God's presence. I think the main difference is that in college when I was around Mike, I wanted to be like Mike. Now, after spending time with Mike, I want to be more like Jesus. The amazing thing is that Mike's story, though inspirational, is not particularly unique. I've heard so many Christians tell me of a gut-wrenching season they walked through, only to hear them say, "In the end, I'm glad it happened. The fruit it creates far outweighs the pain and angst that come with it." None of them would have chosen ahead of time to walk through such a difficult trial, but all of them are grateful, in hindsight, that the trial came. Such fire testing seasons are severe gifts from a loving Father, though initially they are rarely received as such. These seasons are necessary because we do not walk easily into maturity. At first, Christianity can be an intoxicating blend of freedom, joy, exuberance, and newfound discovery.